Animal Magnetism Unmasked. This is the title of this recording, which is an extemporaneous Christian Science prayer treatment based on the system of divine metaphysics, which is referred to in the textbook of Christian Science by Mary Baker Eddy on page 146 and further on page 330 to 340. On page 146, she states, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. And on page 330, when the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. And then from pages 330 to 340, she gives us the 32 topics to which she refers to as the 32 planks of the platform. The title of this recorded prayer treatment is exactly the same as chapter 5 of the textbook. John Morgan was an advanced student of Christian Science, and he wrote a book entitled Dissolving Barriers, and in it, he summarized his thoughts on each of the chapters of Science and Health. This is what he says about Chapter 5, Animal Magnetism Unmasked. Animal magnetism is the term used in Christian Science to denote all error, but essentially the error of personal sense, personal will. It is this that keeps all humanity in bondage. Christian Science unmasks this attempted personal despotic control of man and shows that animal magnetism has no power of its own and no authority. Unmasking this error at the same time reveals the truth in our hearts and lives that, quote, man is properly self-governed only when he is guided rightly and governed by his Maker, divine truth and love. And that's a quote from this chapter, page 106. This is God's man. This is a real Christian Scientist. Mary Baker Eddy provides this as an introductory quote to the chapter, and it's a quote from Jesus. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Dr. Francis Fluno was one of Mary Baker Eddy's earliest lecturers, and that would have been in the latter part of the 1800s. And one of the topics that he lectured on was criticism. He makes this statement. Criticism is fault-finding. It shuts you out of heaven. It will darken all your skies. It will keep you from demonstrating for yourself and others. It will bar you from progress. It leads you into all trouble. It leads you into all discord, into all unkindness, impatience, hard-heartedness, unfriendliness, and finally, into all evil, hatefulness, and envy. What did Jesus think about criticism? He gave us 41 parables. In each one, he left out all concept of personality. He referred to evil or mistakes as an action that was independent of a named person. Even when the soldiers came to arrest him, to take him to trial, and then to the crucifixion, Peter cut off the ear of one of the guards, and immediately Jesus said, "Put up thy sword, Peter." And Jesus then healed instantaneously the ear of the guard. When the disciples asked Jesus, "How many times should we forgive someone?" 7? And he said, 70 times 7. She wrote an article entitled, "Love Your Enemies." In it, she says, "Who is thine enemy except someone that you think in your heart is an enemy?" Wentworth Winslow, an advanced Christian scientist, said, "Imagine yourself in a room that has a radio on one side that is tuned in to station KOG, representing Kingdom of God. And in that same room is a telephone that is ringing continuously." He says, "Do not pick up the phone, for it is only going to make suggestions which are ungodlike." Mary Baker Eddy informs us that we must, when we find a suggestion of evil tempting, that we must deny that it has any power whatsoever, and then explain the reason why with truth. Another advanced Christian scientist is Frederick L. Rassen. He wrote a book entitled, "Truth or Healing with True Prayer." In it, he names 1,315 different problems. And he follows the writings of Mary Baker Eddy to a T. He says, make a very short statement. There is no, and then provide the name of what the problem is. And then devote the rest of your time on what God is, and what heaven is all about, and what the relationship is between God and his idea, or image and likeness, which is man, you and me. Not as mortals, but as spiritual images and likeness of God, as it states in Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 26, where it says that God made man in his image and likeness. When one is on the pursuit of finding the error that is causing the problem, one must be aware of how evil operates. Two of the traits that evil always exercises is deceit and decoys. Therefore, we must make sure we are not chasing or being a sucker for a decoy. Albert Einstein, who studied the writings of Mary Baker Eddy and attended church and studied in the reading rooms, said, "Curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning." There are three introductory quotes at the beginning of the textbook. Number one, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus, quoted by John. Number two, There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. Number 3. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Mary Baker Eddy. What do you think she could be referring to when she says God has heard her prayer? The Bible says we should pray without ceasing. Do you think that could mean to live our prayer? In other words, with our thought, speech, and action, as we experience today, if we align or make sure we are in alignment with the laws of God, which are the laws of the universe, with every thought, speech, and action throughout the day, then we are living what should be our prayer. And we will therefore receive the benefits. Be blessed. It is important to remember what Mary Baker Eddy states on page 221 of the textbook. It's under the chapter entitled Atonement and Eucharist, Chapter 2. The topic title is Wait for Reward. Work out your own salvation is the demand of life and love. For to this end, God worketh with you. Occupy till I come. Wait for your reward, and be not weary in well-doing. If your endeavors are beset by fearful odds, and you receive no present reward, go not back to error, nor become a sluggard in the race. When the smoke of battle clears away, you will discern the good you have done, and receive according to your deserving. Love is not hasty to deliver us from temptation, for love means that we shall be tried and purified. If one is interested in getting on the path of pursuit to heal everything, we have complete instructions on the website under that very title, Heal Everything. Access is available from both the header and the footer, which are on every single page of the website. Here is a clue on where to begin. It is very common to live under the fear that there is a limited amount of whatever one utilizes for their life. Food, shelter, clothing, transportation, whatever. Money is probably at the top of the list. Maybe friendship. Maybe a family. Maybe a hobby. Perhaps time or location where they reside compared to where they would like to reside. Maybe they're unemployed, think there's a shortage of occupations or job positions. Whatever it is that is a part of our life experience, or we would like to have it part of our life experience, could be on the list. How about the qualities of God, which are defined by Mary Baker Eddy as follows? God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Another definition, God is the great I am, all knowing, all seeing, all acting, all wise, all loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. How about the definition of good? God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. How about the definition of man? The compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full expression of mind. For each of the seven synonymous terms that Mary Baker Eddy uses to define God, there are 50 or more words that Mary Baker Eddy uses to define the terms, the seven basic terms for God. It could be any of those several hundred words that we might think we lack. If one makes a silly mistake, they might think they lack understanding or intelligence. If they give up easily on some difficult project, they may feel that they lack perseverance or strength or courage. If we can think of a single thing that we feel we lack, what do you think the solution is? Would you think it would be possible that the solution is to give something that we think we lack instead of trying to take it? Take it means that we fear there's a limited quantity. Giving it means that we are not concerned about the quantity because we're giving it away. Someone made the statement that when an individual passes on, what they leave behind is what they have taken, and what they take with them is what they have given away. Given for the benefit of someone else, not taking, intending it to be a benefit for oneself, instead of attempting to possess, the key is to give possession away. King Solomon, who was the son of David, the same David that disposed of Goliath, asked God for a very noble quality. He said he did not feel qualified to judge his people properly when he became king. So he asked God to give him wisdom so that he would be able to judge his people fairly. What did he receive? Not only wisdom, but he was deemed the wealthiest man in all history. That's probably including today. All history. Because he wanted to give. He wanted to give. He did not want to take. He wanted to give. And when the Queen of Sheba visited him to find out if it was true about his enormous wealth, she reported back after she returned and said, his wealth is greater than what could ever be imagined. Why? Because everyone was happy. Happy. Frederick L. Rawson, a genius of a Christian Scientist, the one that wrote the book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, said, our purpose on planet Earth is to make other people happy. Other people happy. Not take, but give. Give what makes other people happy. Don't be concerned about what they do with it. It could be anything in your imagination. But if you're really good, you will listen to what you think their need is, and you'll listen to mind. You will make an intelligent decision how to do it, what to do, where, when. Speaking of when, Frederick L. Rawson discovered how to treat back in time. He completely overcame the belief in the limitation of time. It's all explained on the website. Each one of us can overcome that limitation, but we have to let go. The Bible indicates that we should tithe. Tithe means tenth part, and most people probably interpret that to mean when you are working and earning payment for your work, that you should give 10% to God. What does that mean? Suppose you're not working. What do you have? Do you have 1,440 minutes a day? How much of it do you want to give? And to whom do you want to give it? Or for what purpose do you want to give it? Do you have any skills, talents, anything that might help someone else? Do you have extra housing, food, shelter, transportation? Do you immediately think of getting rid of something that you no longer desire? Or do you think about giving away the most prized possession you have? Jesus commended the lady that gave two mites in the synagogue, and they asked him why. He thought she was so special, and he said she gave more than everyone else. She gave all she had. Two mites equates to about one penny in U.S. dollars. One penny. But it was all she had, and she gave it away. If we see a stray dog, what do? Do we give anything away? Or do we chase the dog away? Get out of here. Don't bother me. How about someone in need? Are we like the story of the Good Samaritan, where everybody walked on the other side of the street so they didn't have to face the individual that was in need? Or are we like the Good Samaritan? We take care of him. We help him solve his problem. We take him to an inn or a hotel. Pay for his board and room until you return. Give him an opportunity to heal. Someone in a wheelchair that may have an appearance that is extremely difficult to deal with. Do we try to look away? Or do we try to figure out how we can help the individual? If someone is out of work, do we make a genuine effort to see if we can help? Help him be employed? I know someone that just came out of a department store heading for his vehicle, and he was approached by someone that asked him for money. He looked at him. He looked decent. Didn't look like he was living on the street. And he said, "Why do you need money?" He said, "I lost my job and I ran out of money and I haven't had anything to eat for 2 days. He said, "What do you do?" "I'm a handyman. I love to fix things. I can do anything. Carpenter, plumbing, electrical. You name it, I can do it. And I really enjoy fixing things." The individual that was asked to give him money had accumulated a list of things he needed done in his home. And he couldn't find anyone that could do it. He probably could have hired individual contractors for each one of the things, but he was looking for a solution to get it all done. So he just kept adding to his list. He took the individual up to his home, or had him follow him in his vehicle after putting gas in his vehicle that he didn't have the money to put in there. He couldn't even go looking for a job because he didn't have any money for transportation. So he followed the individual up to his home. He showed him the list. He said, "I can fix everything on this list." He worked for the man 3 months until he got it all done. And the day after he had it done, he was employed, which had been arranged 2 or 3 days previously, to go to work on a permanent job. I know of somebody that was coming out of another store, and they saw a mother and a daughter. The daughter was in a wheelchair, and she had absolutely no control over herself, totally oblivious to her total surroundings. They didn't speak the same language. The fellow went up to him and gave him a generous donation, and he could say a few words in their language. And so he made a greeting, and when he approached and when he left. And on the way home, he was trying to figure out how he could be of help to them, because he couldn't talk, because they didn't know the same language. And he was a Christian Scientist, and he decided he would print out part of the textbook in their language. So he did. He printed out, beginning at the very beginning, the introductory quotes to the textbook and the preface and table of contents, the first chapter on prayer, and he gave it to her when he went back to the store. She didn't have any idea what it was, so she just cordially thanked him. And he went back about a week later, and she had a big smile on her, expressing her appreciation for what he had done. So he left them with that and went back to the store a few times to give them an opportunity to digest it. And each time, she was very cordial and grateful. So he decided he would print out more. So he printed out the last chapter, which is 101 pages of testimonies. And you wouldn't believe the reception he got the next time he went. You know, she's normally sitting down, and she got out of her chair, jumped up, and came over and gave him a big hug. Again, they don't speak the same language, but they spoke the language of love. They communicated in love. She was so grateful. And so he printed out more of the textbook. And every time he saw her, he made a generous donation in money. Do we go to any kind of trouble to try to help someone that is really in need? I highly caution you about giving money to any kind of an organization that solicits it without doing strenuous research to find out exactly how they operate, who are the people that are running it, what they are doing to utilize the money. There's a new department in the U.S. government called DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency. To a human sense, it was founded by one of the most intelligent people on planet Earth. And within 24 hours, and they just started operation in January of 2025, and within 24 hours, He'd started with a crew of programmers. He's a genius in programming. And so he selected some of the top programmers, and they went in there and discovered that the U.S. government was utilizing a particular non-profit organization to spend billions, if not trillions, in fact it was trillion, they've already discovered into the trillions, that have been given for supposedly non-profit purposes, and it was all a money laundering operation, whereby the individuals that were running each of these organizations that were tied to this one organization were never even benefiting for the cause that they had sworn that they were getting the money for. And the people that were supposed to be the beneficiary of these organizations never received a penny. Or, excuse me, they received between 0 and 5% of the money received from the U.S. budget, which is our tax dollars. Even the Red Cross is corrupt. They didn't find a single organization that claimed to be a non-profit organization that was honest. Not a single one. It's common knowledge that the entire institution of churches are corrupt. You might find one here or there, somewhere, but generally speaking, everyone that claims to be a non-profit organization is corrupt. The only way that it is suggested that you proceed is to do your own research and give the money directly to the people, the purpose, the events that you want to fund, and just be extremely intelligent and monitor everything. There's a great need, but they're not the ones that are soliciting money aggressively. If you don't know the people, stay away. Unless you want to know them and really find out if they're doing what you want to contribute for. There are millions of people that are out of work, that are homeless. Many ways to give. But you need to do it. Not like Andrew Carnegie did. He was one of the wealthiest people after he sold his company that became U.S. Steel over 100 years ago. And he spent the last few years of his life giving his money away. But he made sure he was given credit by putting his name on every library that he built, every building and universities that he built, or universities that he built in total. He needed that recognition. What recognition did Solomon want? Nothing. He wanted to give to the people the decision that would be most fairly providing a solution for the problems. So that's number one. And I won't tell you any more because we have the complete program on the website. And if you're serious and you will exercise the discipline, you will get wonderful improvement in every phase of your life. Every phase. Nothing is untouched when you advance in spiritualizing your thought, speech, and action. One way to think about animal magnetism is being attracted to animalistic way of thought, speech, and action. What is referred to is like an animal that is cornered and therefore are in a frame of thought that is survival. They will easily attack because they think that's the only way to solve their problem. Very materialistic and sensational emotion at its peak. If one is going to be reflecting the qualities of God, they are going to have a spiritual attitude instead of a materialistic. Therefore, I shall recite to you a prayer that Mary Baker Eddy gave to her class of 1898, her final class in the College of Metaphysics, and she gave them seven prayers entitled Diapason of Heaven, one for each of the seven synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. The prayer devoted to the topic of spirit will be recited because spirit is the opposite of animalistic. It is pure, flawless, transparent. Those are qualities of spirit. And here is the prayer by Mary Baker Eddy. Diapason of Heaven for Spirit. We must declare often that spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God, and my God is spirit. Individual, incorporeal, immaterial. Spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. Amen. This concludes this Christian Science prayer treatment on the topic of animal magnetism unmasked. It is October 1, 2025, Wednesday at 2:32 p.m. This is the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. The website is mbeinstitute.org. Thank you for listening. The end.